Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Podcast. I'm your host, Jordana Levine. Last week, we explored the Virgo new moon, and I think the most fascinating thing about the energies that were stirred up during the new moon was the fact that so many people I've spoken to were so deeply affected by the energies of Virgo. And by that, I mean cleaning, tidying, rearranging the house, organizing finances, writing to-do lists, getting meticulous, concerned with the details, and perhaps even finding themselves tipping over into perfectionism and self-criticism. And these are people who are just not like this usually. I heard many accounts of this through friends and family, but also through a lot of people on social media. So this week I wanted to chat to my dear friend and brand growth consultant and strategist, Katie Graham, who is the absolute embodiment of Virgo. And you'll find out why during our chat. But in particular, the work she does with her clients. Katie calls herself a professional problem solver. So Virgo. By enabling her clients to step out of overwhelm and find clarity in their business. Often this means slowing down and doing less, which can seem really counterintuitive. Katie discovered the sheer joy and advantage of slow business after, like many of us, she experienced extreme burnout in her former corporate life. Katie has 15 years of big brand experience under her belt and launched her own strategy consultancy in 2016 to assist small business owners and brands with integrity, find clarity, drive sustainable growth, and focus on their path forward. Katie has 15 years of big brand experience under her belt and launched her own strategy consultancy in 2016 to assist small business owners and brands with integrity, find clarity, drive sustainable growth, and focus on their path forward, following a simple strategy to impact the future of their business. Katie is on a mission to help the humans behind businesses find headspace and clarity. Whether you run your own business or not, you're going to find some golden nuggets in this conversation. I know I did. And if you do find yourself on a hamster wheel, unable to see the forest for the trees, then I hope by the end of this, you're ready to take a deep breath and slow down in order to achieve more. If you enjoy this episode, make sure you take a screenshot and tag me at Jordana Levine and Katie at the letter K, the letter T underscore Graham on Instagram stories. Plus, at the end of our conversation, Katie is being incredibly generous and giving one lucky listener an opportunity to work with her for free. But I'll tell you more about that at the end. I hope you enjoy this conversation with my dear friend Katie, and I hope that you can learn from the most Virgo of the Virgos how to stay balanced during this current Virgo season. I wanted to get you on the show for a couple of reasons. First of all, you are a Virgo, and of all my Virgo friends, I feel like you not only embody Virgo, but also balance it really well, which we'll dive into a little bit throughout this interview. But also, not surprisingly, the work that you do and your philosophy when it comes to business is very much in line with Virgo energy when it's in balance, not when it's out of balance. And I guess we'll talk about that as well. But before we dive in, I think we need to tell the listeners what you discovered the other day when looking at your natal chart, because I thought you were just a Virgo sun, but you seem to be so much more than that.
I know. I was so surprised myself. I I don't know the actual word for it, but I have Virgo in Moon, Sun, Jupiter, Mercury, and Saturn.
Yeah, it's huge.
It's massive. And I think luckily I have Aquarius rising to balance it all out. But yeah, I looked at all of that and went, oh my gosh. I've always thought that I embodied a lot of the Virgo traits, but I had no idea how insanely intensely I was embodying them all.
Yeah, well, it's so interesting, yeah. You know, especially from my perspective, seeing the way that you run your business and even the way that you communicate with friends, is the Virgo in Mercury, because Virgo in Mercury, well, Mercury in general is all about communication, talking, thinking, processing information. And that's very much you. If you take all the energy of Virgo and put it into that category, that's pretty much how you run your business, right? Is taking that kind of clarity, which Virgo is really good at, and delivering it in a way that people can understand. Yeah, it's really beautiful.
Yeah, so true.
So perhaps just so everybody can get a really good idea of who you are and what it is you do, how would you explain your work to people?
By trade, I'm a strategist, which essentially means I'm a professional problem solver. And I just love helping other people find headspace and clarity. That's my whole mission. I think it's interesting that you've met me in the last 5 years, George.
Yeah.
But if you'd met me 5 years ago, I was the opposite. I was definitely out of balance, and working in an environment that was not conducive to me being my best self and being of the best service. So I navigate business owners, particularly small business owners. I absolutely love helping female-run small businesses and help them navigate from confusion to clarity. So cutting through the overwhelm, the overanalysis paralysis. And I think I understand that space so well because as a Virgo, I absolutely am prone to overthinking, overanalyzing, ensuring everything's perfect before you press go. So cutting through that and just slowing it right down, stripping it right back and focusing on what the most important steps are in order to continue running a business. And I focus a lot on human sustainability, probably because I have in my past life burnt out. And so I want to make sure that whatever any of us are doing, whether we're in a corporate, whether we're running our own business like you are, Jords, that we can continue doing that for years to come.
I think it's so important. I still am prone to burnout. I haven't quite mastered this yet, and I feel like I've got my moon in Virgo. I feel like I'm not familiar with how to balance out that Virgo energy. I find it really difficult, and I think that for many of us, maybe tell me what you think, like when you've come from that corporate background that's all about the hustle and celebrates busy and speed and productivity, and then you come into your own business and you kind of take those traits with you or feel like they're metrics that you should be meeting in order to be successful. Is that something you see a lot with small business?
It's something I see a lot, and it's something that I saw in myself for the first couple of years of running my own business.
Yeah.
We are all obsessed with numbers, but I find that when we come back to feelings, like I remember I did Danielle Laporte years ago, and it's something I did her desire map, and the number one feeling that came through in so many aspects was freedom.
Yeah.
And so I now make a lot of my decisions around freedom. And I found a lot of other small business owners, and I think particularly living up in Byron, where we've all moved away from the city, moved away from the hustle, there are a lot of us who share that value of freedom. And when we make decisions from that place, it's actually less about the numbers. So we're naturally pulled away from it. But I think in any business, numbers are important, but it's coming back to what are the right numbers. You know, even if we're looking at, and we're all still obsessed with Instagram metrics, even though no one can see them. And I think I'm always so curious. I think apply curiosity to numbers.
Yeah.
So when I'm looking at numbers, it's like, oh, I had so many saves on that. Or there were so many comments, or why were there not many likes on that? Yeah. And I think applying curiosity and trying to learn from everything helps you improve.
Mm. But without getting so caught up in it and using it as a measure of
absolutely
self-worth or business worth.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I'm a big believer in Seth Godin's work.
Yeah.
And I think I was telling you the other day, he came out with a blog post recently that was all, it was all themed around the first 10. And he said, essentially, just focus on those first 10 people in your business, or incorporate like the first 10 relationships, and just keep focusing on those 10. Because if you treat those first 10 people well, not the hundreds, not the anonymous masses, just if you treat those first 10 people well, each of those 10 people will go on to find you another 3, 10, 100,000, whatever it is. And if that's not working, then you come back and you look at what you're offering.
Yeah.
Is the message right? Is the product right? Because if it's not flowing, then you've got to look at yourself and what you're offering.
And it's not sustainable. Because
that could be out of alignment. It's not sustainable. If we're constantly thinking about how we can serve 1,000 people, we'll burn out.
Yes.
If we're thinking about how we can serve 10 people, then we're much better. And I think the same applies to our friendship. There is no way we can be the perfect friend, daughter, partner when we've got 50 people in our close circle.
Yeah.
But if we're focused on, you know, nurturing the right relationships and spending quality time with people, then it's always much better.
Yeah, absolutely. You were telling me the other day, or actually I think I read it in one of your blog posts, that occupational burnout has actually been added to the World Health Organization's classification of diseases. So that's kind of where we're at, right? And that's terrifying.
Yeah, it's absolutely terrifying. But on the other hand, I actually think it's awesome that it's been recognized.
Yeah.
Because I remember when I burnt out 5 years ago, I didn't know what was happening. It was only a year later, thanks to amazing psychologists and doctors around me that said, oh, you had adrenal fatigue and, you know, it's classified as burnout. I had no idea what was going on at the time other than lots of tears driving into the office, keeping on a brave face during the day and tears at night. And I'm sure so many of your listeners will be nodding because we've all been through it at one point, but just we haven't been able to pinpoint what that was.
Okay, so if we had to explain to listeners that are perhaps not quite sure what burnout is, how would you describe it?
I think I would describe it as, it's so difficult to explain,
but
it's where your whole body is telling you to stop doing something.
Mm.
And it's almost as if we've ignored, I think there are 11 stages of dis-ease in the body, according to Ayurveda, before we have a disease. And I think of burnout as we've ignored all those 11 signs.
Mm.
And it's our body's way of shutting down.
Yeah.
And I think burnout generally, and I'm not a doctor, or naturopath or anyone who studied a health qualification of any sort. But I think burnout in most people I know of who have had a significant burnout, it's manifested physically.
Yes.
So for me, my back froze. I know for you, it's always been your shoulder, Jodes.
Yeah.
And for some reason, we ignore all the signs. We ignore that heart racing. We ignore the massive over-reliance on caffeine. It kind of builds up gradually and it does nothing and we keep going back for more. We ignore that we're waking up tired because we're just waking up at 5 a.m. to go and do high-intensity exercise because that's making us feel better before we go and do a full day of work. We're just so addicted to giving ourselves little bits of extra cortisol. I don't know why we do it in hindsight, but I think if anyone is feeling like their emotions before and after work and during work are different and they feel like they have to keep a mask on during the day, then listen to that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And there's always
a way out. Do the yoga.
Yeah. Do the yoga.
Do the
or just yoga. Just lie down on the mat on the floor. You don't even have to do anything. Just stop.
Shavasana.
Stop and rest. Yeah. So, Katie, you talk a lot about slow business and I'd love to understand it better. We've heard a lot about, you know, slow food and slow fashion. How would you describe slow business? What does that mean?
Slow business means to me knowing where you're going, being really intentional, purposeful, but taking measured, strategic steps to get on your path. It's not so much about attaching to an outcome, but on that path, taking measured, concise, considerate steps and having enough headspace around you so that you can make decisions clearly. And in contrast to that, you've got fast business, and you see it a lot with startup culture where everyone is moving so fast that you're not really making a decision. And I think we've all, in some aspect of our lives, probably our work lives in particular, we've all just jumped into that thing and had to redo that thing because we've gone too quickly.
Yes.
We've just dived straight into writing a blog post or a newsletter or whatever it is we were doing, haven't really thought through, and then we've had to pull it apart, and it actually takes longer to pull it apart and recraft it than if we just sat down and gone, okay, so what are we trying to get out of this? Is this even the right thing? Okay, yes, it is. This is how we want people to feel after reading it. Okay, go.
Yeah.
And it just flows. So I think for me, it's really creating that space around it. And there was, for ages, I was questioning whether slow was right. Like, I knew in my own experience and in some of my clients' experience, slow had seemed like it was actually leading to greater profits and greater success. But I found a study by the Harvard Business Review recently, and they looked at over 300 businesses over a three-year period and found that the companies that chose to push go on every lead or initiative to gain that edge and to get something over their competitors actually ended up with lower sales and operating profits than those that paused at key moments. So those who slowed down to speed up averaged 40% higher sales and 52% higher operating profits over the study period. So there is actually evidence out there now that if you take a slower, more considered approach, that you can actually drive higher sales and profits. And I think the important part of going slow is not being lazy and not doing nothing, but making sure you're balancing the tempos, because I can be highly efficient sometimes. But then there's also other tasks where I know that I need to create some space around. I need to go for a walk before I sit down to do that thing. So it's all about understanding yourself. But in order to understand yourself, you have to have that space.
It's so – I'm just saying from personal experience, like, I really struggle to get my head around this concept. Like, I understand it. I've seen it work with people around me. And as someone who is always go, 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 do, 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 I take very little time to reflect, which is so hilarious because it is my message. I guess it's habitual, and it's what's always happened, and it's a hangover from corporate life. But I just find the concept of slowing down to speed up something so hard to kind of wrap my head around. Yeah. Can you give me a and I've seen you do it, so I know that it works. Can you give me like a really practical example of slowing down to speed up growth?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the most obvious one that we can all relate to is where we've said no to something, no to a client, and that's actually given us the space to allow the good opportunities to be seen.
Yeah.
So I think saying no and making like that is the biggest sign that you have created space around you. You've said no to, particularly when you're saying no to a client that is just, you can feel yourself being pulled out of alignment, and that might have nothing to do with the client, but you're seeing part of your former self or your the traits that you're trying to manage starting to manifest. For me, it's boundaries. So if I can feel myself being pulled, if I can feel my boundaries being blurred by a relationship, a client relationship, or a work relationship, that they're the ones that I say no to. And every time I've done it, that space has led to growth.
Growth.
It's given me space to think. And I know I've got some lovely clients up here, Sally and Scott, who run Farmer Joe Muesli. And they moved from Sydney. They had a big factory out near the airport in Sydney. And they moved their 4 kids and their factory up to Mullumbimby 2.5 years ago. And it seems counterintuitive, right? Like moving from Sydney, where you've got access to, you know, quicker access to everything, to ingredients, to freight, to they export a lot of their products. So it's much easier for them to get product overseas from Sydney, from that hub, than it is from up here. But they've actually grown more because they've had that space around them to make the right decisions.
Yeah. So I guess a big part of slow business is self-awareness and like working out what feels good for you and also being really clear on what your values are. And then I guess at the same time, making sure that within business there's equal value exchange. Otherwise you start to feel compromise, whether it's an energy compromise or a value compromise or whatever it might be. Things like tuning into your intuition and like listening to that gut kind of feeling around clients and business, was that something that you had to learn, or has that always been quite an innate quality for you?
I think I've always had it, but I haven't always been able to listen to it. And burnout, you can't listen to it at all. You can't trust it, that's for sure. So I think, honestly, yoga has helped me so much in terms of listening to my gut. I think yoga, and also it's that age-old thing, step away from the desk. Whether you're working in an office or you're working for yourself, step outside, go for a walk. The idea comes to you when you're walking or you're away from your desk, and like you can feel what the right next step is when you're away from the desk, not when you're there trying to do the thing. I think, you know, there have been so many studies on the shower and how all the ideas come to you in the shower. And I think it's the same thing. It's just when your mind's off something else, you feel. When you're trying to focus on that thing, that decision, you can't feel and think at the same time necessarily. So being away from the environment, I think, can help massively.
Absolutely.
In terms of listening.
I really found when I was writing my book that I had to, at every moment where I felt stuck and I felt like energy wasn't moving, that I had to get up and actually move my body. And it's funny you mentioned the shower thing. I was at one stage, so sorry environment, but I was having 3 to 4 showers a day because I needed to break up whatever kind of stagnancy I was experiencing at my desk. And it always helped. It really did.
Actually, going back to your book, George, that going to Bali to write your book is a classic case of slowing down. And you might think that that sounds ludicrous because you probably never worked so hard in your life. but slow doesn't mean a slow pace necessarily, or, you know, less achievement, less output. But what you said no to in order to focus on your book by going to Bali, you said no to routine, to traffic, to enforced catch-ups. You know when you're in your home environment, you have to see the family and you have to do all these things. It's all those have-tos. You got rid of all those have-tos and just focused on you. You created space.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's quite interesting. I look back on that period of writing that book. I wrote it in 8 weeks. And I have to say, I did work very hard, but I also didn't overexert myself. I never burnt out during that process. And I have to say, I probably only wrote for about 3 hours within a day. Like, I wasn't sitting at the desk the whole time. And I got it out. I got the work out because I took those moments when there was no creativity coming through, and instead of forcing it out, I just went and did something else. And I slowed down and I listened to my intuition, and that was a good case study for slow business, actually.
really good one.
Do you think we can slow down when we're working for someone else? Because, I mean, there's going to be listeners who don't run their own businesses and are still, you know, in a corporate job or just perhaps working for a startup or whatever it might be. Can we slow down within ourselves while still performing for our superiors?
Yes, absolutely. I, in between working full-time, burning out full-time and starting up on my own, I did a few contracts. And when there was one contract in particular where I was working in a crazy, big, hectic agency in Sydney. And I was there 3 days and my contract stated 9 to 5. And I knew that by putting myself back in that environment, I really had to stick to 9 to 5. And so I was the role model for getting in on time and leaving on time, but being highly, highly, you know, efficient. And I wanted to make sure that I delivered value in every single interaction I had during the day. And I have to say, because I wasn't pushing myself to, I knew that I was there 9 to 5. I wasn't accepting the diary notes that were coming in at 9, 10 o'clock during the week and on the weekends, like ridiculous. But by doing that, I didn't have so much in my head. I knew what to say yes and no to, and I could actually offer strategic counsel in all meetings because I had the headspace. Mm. So I think when you are working in a corporate, working for someone else, it's just it's not going to be easy at first, but just always trying to create a little bit of space around that decision you're making. And I think there's an amazing quote that I remember I used to use in yoga classes, and it talks about how between stimulus and response there's a space. Mm. We don't always use that space, but we can use that space, just a brief moment of pause, to work out how we're going to react, respond to a situation. And I think if we just take those little moments, those little spaces in between being asked to do a task, being asked to review something, action something, go to a meeting, if we just take those moments and actually think about why we need to do those, how we can do those best, or, you know, whatever it is, then by using that little space, we can then slow down.
Yeah,
and be more efficient.
Mm. Okay, so
but yeah, we don't always have a heap of space. It's not always possible.
No, but I guess taking the space within yourself, even if physically it doesn't look like there's space on the calendar, there's still a moment to take a deep breath, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
always.
Okay, so always. I just want to do a little bit of a recap. People are feeling overwhelmed and overcommitted. I think that's another thing, is overcommitment. We just commit to so many things before taking the time to really think, is this actually possible? Can we do this? I do it all the time with clients because I come into a lack mentality where I go, well, what if I don't have more clients down the track? I'll just take everyone on now. And that's something I've really had to pull back on, this kind of faith piece, this trust piece. Mm-hmm. But when we come into feelings of overcommitment and feeling overwhelmed, and something as simple as slowing down can feel like, you know, it's just something else to add to the list, what are some of the things that we can start to look at immediately? Like if we had to give a little list of points, what do you think we could say?
There's one piece of advice my dad gave me years ago, and it's a way to create space between an ask and an action. And I think it can apply to everything that we do. It can even apply to you, George, when you're taking a client on and when you have to action or put that in your diary. So creating space between the two. And Dad always said to me, make sure if a client comes to you with something that's urgent, and I think it's the urgent ones, the ones that have to be done straight away, the bookings that have to be in within the next couple of days, those urgent ones often tip us over because we take that urgent energy on.
So true.
And so Dad always said, go back, go straight back to them, like really efficiently, go back to them with a list of questions. And he said, by going back to them with a list of 5-6 questions, and they don't have to be hard questions, but if you go back to them with a list, with an email that says something like, yeah, absolutely, I'll get onto this straight away. Before I start, can you just answer these questions? Mm. And he said 10 out of 10 times you will create that space because they can't answer those questions straight away. And then not only can they not answer those questions straight away, but they realize what they've asked, the pressure that they've put on you.
Mm.
So I think if we can, in anything that we do, and not in a way that people can see straight through, but I think just creating those little spaces between, it might be, Jods, for you, your client bookings, they're for next week. They're always for the week after.
Yeah.
But I think chunking out time in your calendar is something that we can all do for tasks. Mm-hmm. Tuning into when you're at your most productive, and if you are working yes. in an office, if you are working in an office, put that time aside every week, block it out in your diary so no one else can book over it, and just block it out for your, it might be Thursday afternoon from 2 till 5, or for me it's Friday afternoon, which is so weird, from 4 till 6, and I block that out, and I know that whatever I haven't got done during the week, I can just plow through.
That's your most in those productive 2 hours. Time, 4 to 6
it's
on a
so
Friday?
Weird.
Oh my God.
It's so weird. Also writing a to-do list at the end of each day for the next day.
Yeah.
And on a Friday afternoon, write your to-do list for the next week. By taking – it's very Virgo,
it's
isn't
so
it?
So Virgo, but keep going.
But by being organized in that way, you sit down at your desk on Monday morning and you're not thinking, oh, so what am I supposed to be yeah. doing today?
Yeah.
In that time, you've probably ticked off the first task.
Yeah. It's so true. In yeah. terms of the productivity hours, that yeah. that was a game changer for me, because when I came out of 9 to 5, I really struggled to not feel guilt and shame around not sitting at the desk from 9 in the morning until 5 in the afternoon. But I yeah. know now that my productive hours are actually 7 a.m. until about 2. I'm not mm-hmm. really, nothing good's coming out of me after 2 o'clock. And so I can sit there and push after 2, or
yeah.
I can just start a little bit earlier in the morning, which actually feels a lot better for me, and enjoy yeah. my afternoons in Byron Bay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And absolutely. Really kind of honoring that.
And we're lucky we can do that. We work for ourselves. For people who can't do that, I think it comes down to like trying to put your afternoon, like if you were working in an office job, try and just stipulate that the meetings that you can have a bit of control over, they happen in the afternoon.
Yeah.
You know, the ones that they're meetings for the sake of meetings, those sorts of meetings. And just make sure that you clear that space in the morning and be open, communicate with people who work around you and say, I'm best in the morning at getting the work done. You know, just communicate.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's beautiful. You talk a little bit about outsourcing and automating, and I am yeah. terrible at both of those things. So can you
it's
shed
a work
some
in
light
progress.
On them? Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely a work in progress. And I think it's much easier to do when you're working in a company where there are other people around you. It's much harder when you're trying to work on your own. But I think tune into – and, you know, slowing down is an ever-evolving thing. I don't think any of us necessarily can work towards Tim Ferriss's 4-hour work week. I think that's, you know, that's like a mirage. I think when you are like on that journey of trying to create space, tune into what you hate doing during the week.
Yeah.
And I have a weekly to-do list that I still manually write, and I think it goes back to school because I did that at school and it seems to work for me still. And there's a little section on my to-do list that I literally just rewrite week after week after week. It's on there so that it's out of my brain, but it's on that list week after week. And so that is the section that I've now started to outsource.
Yeah.
And I think it doesn't always have to be work. I have a girl, Amy, who comes in, and I committed to Amy coming in for half a day a week when I was quiet but had come off a really busy period. And I think everyone can relate to when you're busy, when you've got so much on your plate, outsourcing seems like it's impossible, right?
Mm.
And so I made a conscious decision to go, okay, when I come out of this burst, I'm going to get someone in and train them during the slow patch, like during the quiet period, so that when I'm busy again, she's all trained up. So I remember in the beginning, that 4 hours a week, I was like, what am I going to give Amy this week? Like, I had no idea. So she waters the plants, she fertilizes the plants. She'll do like little errands for me, picking things up, whatever. But I've now got her to the point where she's entering my zero invoices, expenses every week.
Mm.
And I've put a check in place with my bookkeeper so that I don't have to go in and check her work. My bookkeeper does it for me.
Yeah.
I've now got her helping me with some of the research for my client work, because I've learned that it's actually really awesome to have an independent view on a client's website as well as my own.
Absolutely. I think that's so clever, Katie, to be taking on help and outsourcing during the slow periods. I've just been through this myself, where I tried to get someone on while I was deep in busyness. And it just felt so overwhelming for me and so overwhelming for her, because I didn't have an opportunity or any space to be able to help her understand. So it just felt like failure after failure, you know?
Yeah, it's got to be gradual. It's got to be gradual. The other thing I've recently automated, which has been a game changer, and again, it's only come because I was trying to tune into where I was feeling moments of reaction and stress.
Yeah.
And I found that I was constantly emailing different people with my availability, saying, okay, I've got these three options this week. And then I'd get an email from someone else asking for a time, and I'd go, oh, okay, well, I'm kind of holding these three spots for this person. I don't know if they're going to get back to me today or in 2 days. And so I've actually got on board. I've signed up for Acuity Scheduling, and there are so many different scheduling platforms out there. But the thing I love about Acuity is I can actually stipulate, like with my 3-hour workshops that I do with small business founders, I don't want to do much else around those. So I've stipulated I want 90 minutes before and 90 minutes after those appointments. With my free 30-minute chats, I only have 15 minutes either side.
Yeah.
You can choose. I can say, okay, I want to maximum of 2 workshops a week. You can put all these things in, and then you just send a link to clients and they can book in. So whenever they get to it, that's my real-time availability. And it sounds so small, but it's been a game changer for me.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I don't use Acuity, but I've got a similar system. Mm. And it was a game changer for me as well, like not just for clients booking in, but people booking in podcast times, free discovery sessions, all of that sort of thing. Because, yeah, you can spend a lot of time going back and forth going, can you do this time or this time, or what about this date? You know, and it's just, yeah, it's time-consuming.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm,
and then the third thing, which is neither outsourcing or automation that I've done, is I've actually started to change what I do based on the things that I find I procrastinate over.
Mm.
So I used to do my package for small businesses used to be a higher price point and more output than it is now. And I found I love doing the workshop. I love working with people one-on-one, and I'm really efficient at getting the strategy, the top line strategy over to them straight after. The bit that I was spending a lot of time doing and chasing and working through with clients was then delivering another strategy after that. I wasn't enjoying it. I was procrastinating. And so I've just cut that out and scaled down my packages.
Amazing. It's slow business, but it's smart business.
It's smart. Yeah. Just do the things you love doing and slowly work towards, and you can't do it straight away, but just chip away, and the things that you're not good at or you procrastinate over, just look for ways that you can either outsource or get rid of from your day to day.
Yeah. Okay, so Katie, if there are people listening to this, and I know there are people listening to this who are like, I can relate to everything Katie and George have been talking about. I'm feeling so overwhelmed. I want to get to a space of clarity with my business, but I just feel so in it.
Mm-hmm.
what are some of the ways that you personally can help people? Because I know that you have packages based on this, and I love the line that you use, which is taking people from confusion to clarity. And that's what it is. Like, sometimes when we're in it, we can't see through it. So what can you offer people?
I've got a few different packages, and I've got a couple of blog posts as well that can help if you're just in a position where you can't afford to get anyone in, because we've all been there. So there's one blog post on learning to say no, and I'd recommend reading that one.
Okay.
Because saying no is the biggest thing, the biggest way to cut through the overwhelm. So I've recently created a couple of smaller packages just to help people with exactly that, to cut through that overwhelm. One is called Making Space, where we quickly, in 2 hours over Zoom, set goals, set your challenge, and then work through a list. Like, you come armed with that never-ending to-do list, and together we go yes, no, yes, no, yes, no, based on your strategic challenge. There's another one which is like a slightly different model, but all around decision clarity. So when you've got a pivot or a big decision to make in your business, that one's for you, where you just need another brain on it.
Yeah.
And then the brand clarity package, which is my sort of core formula. We sit down face to face for 3 hours, work through your business, work through your brand. Because I believe that we need to know who we're serving and why we're doing it before we can really move forwards with that sort of 12-month vision of a sustainable growth strategy for 12 months. So we look through that, we set goals, I do research and look at the big picture opportunity for you. But the thing that all three of those packages that I have, and there are others I can tailor, have in common is we look at why you're doing what you're doing. We look at your values, we look at where you're trying to get to, and then we cut through and say no. I help you say no, because clarity requires headspace. So we need to learn how to say no.
Oh, yes, we do. I'm getting much better at it. And you are too. I know you are. I've seen it in practice. It's great. Okay, so if people want to find out more about these packages, where can they go?
They can head along to my website, which is www.katiegraham.com.au.
Beautiful. And there's some beautiful blog posts there as well, like you mentioned. Awesome. Thank you so much for joining me today, Katie. It was so lovely to have your wisdom and perspective on business and slowing down. And as someone who lives and breathes Virgo energy, it's really nice to see it in balance, because I've seen it out of balance and you've lived it out of balance, as have I. So it's really nice to know that there's a way to manage it. Doesn't sound like the right word, but to balance.
No, manage it. manage and balance. Absolutely.
It's funny though, you know, during this Virgo season, I've had a lot of people around me who are not Virgo, who don't have Virgo in their chart, really start to feel into the energy of Virgo. You know, they're cleaning out the house and they're, you know, minimizing their wardrobe, and they're writing their to-do lists and they're doing all of this stuff. So this energy, it is contagious. And if you are feeling it at the moment, I really urge you to not go into burnout and overwhelm, as we've spoken about, and really start to adopt some of the concepts that Katie's been discussing today.
And get it out of your head and write a list.
Yeah, write a list. Be a Virgo, write a list. All right. Thank you so much, gorgeous.
Thank you so much for having me. No worries. I hope it's helpful to your listeners.
Hope you enjoyed that conversation with Katie. As I mentioned at the beginning of this episode, Katie has generously offered to give away an opportunity to work with her.
She is giving away her Making Space package, valued at $700, to one lucky Lunar Lover listener. The Making Space package is a one-off two-hour strategy power session designed to give you breathing space and clarity in your business. To be in the running to win this incredible prize, all you need to do is be a Lunar Lover member. If you're not already, you can sign up for a membership via the link in the show notes or over on my website, jordanalevine.com. And then send me an email, jordana@jordanalevine.com. That's also in the show notes if you don't remember, letting me know in 25 words or less why you need to create space in your business. The winner will be notified via email on September 13. Also, if you are interested in becoming a Lunar Lover member, this month's guided meditation is an anti-anxiety breathing meditation, and it's the perfect remedy to overwhelm, especially during Virgo season. In fact, following the lunar cycle is what enabled me to invite some more slow and less hustle into my own business. So if this is something you're interested in embodying, then join me as a Lunar Lover member. Until next moon, I'm Jordana Levine, and you've been listening to Lunar Lover, the podcast.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.